reading of God's Word. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll wait for some of y'all to get stood up here. I know some people cannot stand, but amen. I will try to honor the Word of God. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Thank God that grace and peace are multiplied. Amen. That's not where I was going, but I'm glad that it's not just added, but there's a multiplication. Amen. Amen. So there's more than what you asked for is what that's saying. Amen. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our Father, we do pray that the sweet Holy Ghost of God might do a work tonight. Lord, we're asking you to do it, for Lord, we cannot do it. And without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, with you, through you, we can do all things. For we are more than conquerors through Christ. Now Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, our brother Peter is writing here. As he's writing here, we want to know, what is he writing for? And that's where I went to Luke 22, because God gave Peter a command for what to write about and what to preach about. He told Peter over there in Luke 22, I believe it's in verse 31, he said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now let me just say this in passing. He did not pray that Peter fail not, but that Peter's faith fail not. Let me say, it's not always a bad thing to fail. Failure's not a bad thing as long as it builds you up in the most holy faith and your faith does not fail. I've failed at many a thing in my life, but tell you what, if I would have never failed, oh, glory to God, I would have never ever been able to be a success in walking with God at anything, at any time. That's what I like about baseball, just to let you know this. Baseball, 162 games, nobody goes undefeated. You always lose. Matter of fact, a good batter only gets one-third at a time, gets a hit, less than one-third at a time. Now, that's just baseball. I'm not talking about baseball, but I was trying to let you understand. Then Pete tells Peter, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we find that when Peter is writing 1 Peter and 2 Peter, the purpose of his writing was to strengthen the brethren. That is why Peter wrote the letters he wrote. That's why Peter preached the messages he preached. It was not so that Peter could be glorified. It was not for this thing or that thing, but it was to strengthen the brethren. He was not writing to the lost. He was writing to the brethren that were needing to be strengthened. And you find that these brethren here that he was writing to in particular were those who were scattered, they were strangers, and they were suffering. And can I just let you know that the saints of God are scattered abroad many a times. Well, and then let me say the saints of God are strangers and pilgrims in this world in which we live in. And many of them are suffering at this present time. Some of them suffering through physical afflictions. Some of them suffering through persecutions. But can I say, if you're not suffering now, you will suffer. If you don't feel like a stranger in this land now, just let it get a little bit longer and you'll feel more and more like a stranger. I grew up in the United States of America. I was born in the United States of America. But this is not the same United States of America in which I was born in, in which I grew up in, which I graduated from high school in. It's not the same place it was even 10 years ago. It's a lot different now. And let me say, and for some of you who are a little older than me, I know there's nobody a lot older than me. Hey man, I used to think everybody was a lot older than me. I found out the older you get, the less older they are. Amen. I just think about that for a little while. But the truth of the matter is, America's different. And I feel like a stranger. I feel like a stranger in my own country. In the own place where I was born, where I grew up. So we find that strengthening the saints was Peter's job. It was his responsibility. And the Holy Ghost it directed him how to strengthen the brethren. And I believe in the first part of this book of Peter, he gives us three ways that he wanted to strengthen the brethren. I tell you this, he told them about their lively hope. Can I say hallelujah, we got a lively hope. And then he told them about their longed for home. A home that it's longed for. Oh, thank God when we all get to heaven, there is a home that I'm longing to get to. I remember when I was younger, I'm still young, but when I was younger, I went to a camp meeting and all the older saints were singing about this heaven and going home and all this stuff. And I'm like, there's so much to do. Why are they worried about getting out of here? Can I say, the older I get, the more I understand it'd be nice to get on to heaven. There'd be no more arthritis. There'd be no more pains. Hallelujah. I wouldn't be watching friends of mine go along the way and pass on, brother. It's just things that would not be happening when we all get to heaven. I'm looking forward to the Lord's return. But I don't just see our lively hope and our long for home, but I can tell you about our loving hero. Oh, hallelujah. We've got a hero. And I just want to preach to you a little while about those things. The lively hope that we have. What does he say here? He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so I see three things about this lively hope. First of all, I see in our portion of Scripture that it's based upon the resurrection. Can I say thank God that Jesus did not just die on the cross for our sins, but 3 days later He rose again. Hallelujah. Because He rose, we have a life. We know that there's a resurrection. We know that we're not dead in trespasses and sins. We know that He has victory over death, hell, and the grave. So we find that there is a lively hope based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only is it based upon the resurrection, but it's built through Christ's resources. Now let me say resources. What do you mean resources? I mean His abilities. What He has at His hand. We're talking about His abilities here. His ability of His resources. We find His ability to elect. To elect. Now let me say, don't get scared of that term. I just told you He was writing to the saints, first of all. He was not writing about getting saved, but He was talking about what you do when you are saved. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for every saint of God today. You say, oh, what is God's purpose for my life? I don't know except for that it's to glorify Him in your body and in your spirit, which are His. That's what I do know for a fact is His purpose for your life. But He's elected you to something. He's elected you to do something. You say, what is He talking about? Well, I can tell you this, that there's many who have rejected the election of God in their life for what God has a purpose for them in life. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, I read that Esau rejected what God elected him for. I know y'all read over there in Romans chapter 9 and where y'all say, well, God chose the younger to rule over the elder. That's not even what He said. He chose the elder to serve the younger. Esau was elected for a purpose to serve his brother. And Esau said in chapter 27 of the book of Genesis, I'm not going to serve him. I'm going to kill him. He said, I'll never serve him. I'll never do what God wanted me to do. Matter of fact, people read over in chapter 33 of the book of Genesis and think that Esau and Jacob are made up with each other. Can I say, all Esau did was shake his hand in God's face and said, I didn't have to do what you said, and I have everything I need. He said, I have everything I need. I don't need anything from you, little brother. You say, that's not what it says. You need to read it in the context of him being told, you're to serve your brother. He did everything he did outside the will of God. I will just tell you this. You might have all the riches in this world outside the will of God. But you'll never have the glory of God upon your life outside the will of God. You might be a pauper and be in the will of God. And you might be a prince outside the will of God. But I tell you this, you'll never have peace unless you have the will of God and you're in the will of God. That's where the peace that passes all understanding is at. That's why it can be multiplied. Peace can be multiplied because God says, if you're in my will, I can give you a peace that passes understanding. So it's his resource to elect. But not only is there his resource to elect, but we find his resources, his ability to perfect. He says in verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He says, not only do I choose you to do what I want you to do, but I can keep you until a day that it get all the way through. He said, I'm perfecting you. I'm working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. I'm going to accomplish what I've set forth to do. Don't think that God's going to leave some of his children and not get them perfected. He's going to conform us to the image of Christ. It's going to happen. He said whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So we find this in Jude chapter 1. Jude is only one chapter, so it's easy to be Jude chapter 1. Amen. But in Jude chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, or faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to keep you from falling. Let me say, I'm prone to wander. Just like the songwriter said, I'm prone that way. I'm bent toward wandering. I'm bent toward going the wrong direction. I'm bent toward wanting my own way. You might not believe this, but this flesh is selfish, brother. I still got it. Some of y'all may have attained, think you've attained. Brother, you never attain until we get to glory land. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, he's able to perfect us. He's able to bring us all the way through. Can I tell you, that'll encourage the brethren. That'll strengthen the brethren to go on. Just let them know, God's chosen your lot in life. And God is able to keep you through your lot in life. So we find his ability of his resources to elect. Let me say this. Not only do we find that, but it's his ability to elect and his ability to perfect. And let me say, so we find this, it's based upon his resurrection. It's built through his resources. But let me say, it is blessed with our rescue. In verse number 9, you'll see, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now let me say, this thing started with the salvation of our souls. We were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But let me say, it ends with the salvation of our souls. I like how one preacher said, or many of us said, he saved us originally by the purging from the penalty of sin. But as we live this life, he saved us from the power of sin. But one day, he's going to save us from the presence of sin. Matter of fact, he tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse number 14, speaking about the angels. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let me say, there's more to this thing than what I've got already. I've got a home prepared where the saints abide, which brings me to my second point, hallelujah, a longed-for home. Let me say, I don't just have a lively hope, but I have a longed-for home. I've got a place that I'm looking to go. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, what is the one thing that a person who's in a strange land, away from his family and away from his friends, longs for? Can I say it's a home? I've seen many a missionary who travel around. And as they're traveling around, and you know what these ladies say, these dear sweet ladies who are traveling with their husbands being drugged all across America say, you know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for a place to call home. I'm waiting for a place where I can put my stuff at, where I'm not going to have to pick up and go to the next place next week. And go to, can I say, hallelujah, in this strange land we live in, I look for going home someday where I don't have to wander anymore, where we do not have to be pilgrims anymore. I think about that. He says they're scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now they're looking for a place where they're all going to be together once and for all with the ones that they love. Oh, he says in chapter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. So we find this about a home. Now let me say this, when you're a stranger in a land and you feel out of place because for some different reasons, and one of them is cultural issues. Cultural issues. Christians ought to feel out of place because of cultural issues. Cultural issues are different between us and the world. I just tell you this, there's a different dress in the way Christians dress and the way the world dresses. Now, I don't got to get into all that stuff, but you ought to recognize that there is a difference in the way we dress. Not only is there a difference in the way we dress, but there's a difference in the way we talk. In the way we talk. We talk about things they don't talk about. We better not use the language they use a lot of times. Things that were cuss words when I was a kid are now common language. Hey, I'm telling you. Hey, when I was a kid, now you can't even watch television without hearing cuss words anymore. I know some of y'all probably say, you mean you got a television? No, I got a computer. That's a different story. I can watch anything you watch. Yeah, amen. So when you watch your cussing on television, I can watch it on the computer. Amen. Amen. All right, preacher. I just stilled the service there. But it's a different language. We have a different language. Our speech is different than the world's speech. We talk about different things. We love different things. And let me say, you will talk about what you love. You'll talk about what you enjoy. I remember when I was dating, and I'm sorry, preacher, I was lost. I was dating. I was not courting Melissa. But when I was dating Melissa, I'd be at work. You know what I want to talk about? Melissa. That's all I want to talk. I want to talk about, hey, that girl is sweet as can be. Oh, that girl is out. Now, I don't know if she talked much about me. I talk about her. You know why I talk about her? I love her. I was falling in love. I like talking about my wife in a good way. Amen. Now, I know some people like talking about their families in a bad way, but I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about my son loves baseball. He loves baseball. You know what I think about baseball? I love my son. You know what I learned to talk about baseball? Because I love my son. So I've learned more and more about baseball. You say, why do you learn more and more about baseball? I love my son. He loves baseball. I love the things he loves. I love the Lord. Guess what? I like talking about the things God loves talking about. You know why I read the Bible and study my Bible and like talking Bible? Hallelujah, because I love him who wrote the book. So I'm just trying to tell you, there's difference in our talk. There's difference in our dress. There's different in our celebrations. It's different in our celebrations. You know, and I don't know if you do, maybe you don't celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas as the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. They celebrate Christmas as the day when Santa Claus bring them presents. Now, hey, they celebrate a bunny on Easter who's having eggs. Now, I've never seen a bunny have eggs, but they're celebrating a bunny with eggs. And I'm celebrating the resurrection Lord. Hey, man, I'm just trying to tell you, their celebrations of the world are different than ours. I'm looking for a place where they celebrate the same things I celebrate. Oh, where they like going to church. Man, oh man, oh man, I like it. That's a celebration to me. And we celebrate the Lord's return, His resurrection, every Lord's Day. We don't celebrate the Sabbath. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, because He is our Sabbath. But I don't have time to preach on all that stuff, but they have different gods in these strange lands. The gods of this world, I love America. I love liberty. I love freedom. But freedom is not my God. And America's not my God. And I say the Statue of Liberty is not where I worship, and I certainly do not worship at the White House. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is today is we got a different God. We got a God who's the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God. It's not the Muslim God of whatever his name is, or the Buddhist God of whatever his name is. But we got the God of gods, the King of glory, the Lord of lords, and Kings of kings. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, we have a different God. So when you're a stranger in a land, you feel out of place because of cultural issues, and you feel out of place because of companionship issues. See, it's hard to make friends, close friends. I'm not talking Facebook friends, amen. That word friend is a total different meaning in this day and age than what I think of as a friend. I've got a lot of people I'm acquainted with, associated with. But I tell you this, to have a good friend, there's got to be something that's calm. Something that you have familiar. If you're talking a different language, you're not going to be all buddy-buddy with somebody. Now, let me say this. It's hard for me to talk to become real good friends with somebody who speaks Spanish. Say why? Because I can say taco, burrito, enchilada, hallelujah, gloria a Dios. But I tell you this, I could do good in a Mexican restaurant, but get me outside of the restaurante, I'm not very good at it. Now, living 16 years in Houston, Texas, I learned how to speak Mexican restaurant. Amen. Glory. And I love it. But if you don't have the same things in common, how do you become good friends? But when you got a common something in common, a common focus, you start becoming friends and our companionship. So if you're a strange land, how do you do it? No wonder they hung their harps upon the willow. How do you sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Now, I can answer that. Have good companionship and fellowship with the Lord. It's the only way to do it. Because you're not going to be friends with this world. You're not going to be friends with the way this world is. So let me just say this. So we find that we got a home. We're looking for a home. Now, four characteristics about our home that I find here. And then we'll get on to our hero. And then we'll get done. Four characteristics about our home that will encourage anyone who's going there. Number one, it's incorruptible. It's incorruptible. Not anything is going to mess it up. Not one thing can get in there to mess up our home. I'm not talking termites. Let me tell you, termites won't mess it up because there will not be a termite that will get into our house. Let me say this, sin will not mess it up because sin is not going to be there. Thank God that sinners who have been born again will be there. I'd have never got in. But God has taken our sins as far as the east is from the west. I think I got that right, Brother Allen. But as far as the east is from the west, He's cast our sins in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. I was even preaching this morning a little bit on that. Hallelujah. Somebody said they put up a no fishing sign. Oh, glory, I've disobeyed no fishing sign. So I'm glad that it's not just a no fishing sign that's put up there. God says there is no more sea when we get to the end of this thing. That's the hope. John was happy because all he did was walk from one side of the island to the other side of the island. And what did he see? He saw sea all around him. We was in Hawaii last week. I'm just going to tell you this. And we were driving down through Hawaii, through Honolulu. And as we were driving, I can't find my way. And my wife said, well, the beach is that way. I said, the beach is that way. What are you talking about? We're on an island at 180 mile circumference. What are you talking about? The beach is all around us. But glory to God, when we get to heaven, there is no more sea. So you know what? If they disobey the no fishing sign, don't worry about it. They're not going to get my sin. My sin is gone. Gone, because the sea is gone. So it's incorruptible. And it's undefiled. Now, it can't be messed up, and there's nothing messed up with it. There's nothing there that's messed up. There's no leaks in your basement. There's no leaks in your roof. It's exactly perfect. Thank God for that. And I wouldn't worry about the leak in my basement because it's not going to rain. Amen in heaven. But that's a different thing. No need for rain. It's going to be sunshiny all the time. So how do you know that? Because the sun is the light thereof and he's always on the rise. Amen. But that's a different thing altogether. What I'm trying to tell you, it's undefiled and it fadeth not away. That means they can't take away from it. It's not going away. They can't come back and say, hey, we don't want this. We're taking it away. It's nothing. It's not going to be able to be taken from us. And the fourth thing about it that will encourage anybody, there's a place reserved for you, you know, the saints of God. You might be one of the scattered saints that are suffering, but can I tell you, it'll encourage you the fact that God has reserved a place there for you. What does he say, matter of fact? What does he say? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. Amen. I said I would have told you. I just did it in Tennessee. I'd have told you. But that's a different thing. I go to prepare a place for you. I did that for you, Brother Harvey, because I knew you understood Tennessee. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's a place reserved for me. It's a place that's perfected for me. It's made just like he's got it made for me. Just like he wants it made for me. And can I say, it'll be completely satisfying to everything I ever needed or wanted. Because he has prepared it for me. He said, I go to prepare a place, not just any old place, but a place for you. For you. That means he said, I've made it just like you need it. I've got everything you ever need there. Everything you ever desired, really, right there. Everything that you want is right there. Because you know what you're going to want? You're going to want him. And he's there. Amen. So then we find the lovely hero. Yes. Let me say, a lively hope, a long for hope, home, and a lovely hero. Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though you now see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now why do we love him whom we have not seen? I mean, I saw Melissa before I fell in love with her. I did. I fell in love with her because she's pretty. That's a different story. I ain't getting into all that stuff. I'm not telling y'all to look at the outward appearance, but I like outward appearances. Amen. My problem is, I like outward appearance. I ain't getting into all that because Melissa's going to give me some looks here if I say anything more. Amen. Yeah, that's like Dr. Ron Garrett said, you can give me every dirty look. I know every dirty look in the book. I've been married 27 years. Amen. Yes. Amen. But the lovely hero, why do we love him we have not seen? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Because of our redemption. Because of our redemption. He says right here, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, with silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He gave himself so that I could be redeemed. He poured out his lifeblood that I could be redeemed. Oh, you know why? You know why? I love the military, Brother Aaron. I love Marines. Amen. I love Marines. I love Army men. I love Air Force men. And I certainly love Navy men. And let me say this. I'm not for it, but I love Navy women, Air Force women, Marine women, and Army women also. So it's not just men that I just love people that would fight for our country. Why? Because they'd give themselves for our country. Can I say I love Christ because he sacrificed himself for me? He gave himself, shed his life blood for me. Thank God I've been redeemed. He died so that I could live. Now that's a sacrifice. That a person, when they make that kind of sacrifice, they lay down their life for the sheep. Thank God he did. And can I say I love him because of that? But not only do I love him because of that, but I love him because of our regeneration. Not just our redemption, but our regeneration. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Because the Spirit of God moved inside of me and lives inside of me and quickened me and gave me new life as I heard the preaching of the Word of God and fell on my face before God and said, Dear God, save me. He didn't leave me dead in trespasses and sins, but He birthed me again and gave me life. Oh, glory. Let me say, I love Him because He's the one. He is the incorruptible seed itself. Amen. We might say the incorruptible seed is the Word of God, and it is. It is incorruptible, and it is a seed. But can I say, it is what gave us Him. It's thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. Why? Because we learned about Him through the Word of God. And we received Him as the incorruptible seed who He is. Hallelujah. He moved inside and gave us life. Thank God I've been born again. So we find the incorruptible because of our regeneration. And let me say this, because of His righteousness and our restoration. Verse chapter 2 and verse 22, He says, Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him to judge us righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. I'm telling you, oh glory, because of His righteousness and our restoration. He has given us a restored fellowship with God Himself. We didn't have it, because why? Our first father, Adam, he chose to sin, and he fell in sin, and now we find ourselves dead in trespasses and sins. But God said He's returned us. You were sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We've been restored to sweet fellowship. We're restored to a rightful place that we should have had from eternity, which we had from the day God made us. From the day God made man, man was the crown jewel of His creation, and God has restored us to that place in our life. Christ's righteousness. It wasn't my righteousness. They're all but filthy rags. Oh, let me tell you this, because of a refreshing and renewing and reassurances. Chapter 5, verse 6, He says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says, I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to exalt you in due time. He said, you can cast your cares upon me. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to refresh you, and I'm going to reassure you. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Let me say, He ends up saying, but the God of all Christ, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory. Amen. You both now and ever. Amen. And amen. Let me just say this. You know how to strengthen the brethren? Tell them about their lively hope. Tell them about their long for a hope. But most of all, tell them about that love you give them. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, it'll strengthen the brethren. Just talk about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. It'll work every time. Father, I pray You'd help us to glorify Thee in each thing we do.